Rumi said that out beyond right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. Did you ever hear that one? Yeah. It's really what we're talking about today, is the shift. When we are in that place of right doing, wrong doing, lack, limitation, not enough, judging, whatever it is that brings the energy down and stuck and in the problem, and shifting out to that field of infinite possibility. I want to play there, don't you? So let's meet there. That's where we're headed. Co-creativity. That's our third principle in Unity. We're doing a Unity Foundation series. So this is our third week. The first week we talked about the nature of God. God that we affirm every week. The God is, basically, and then we sort of fill in the blank. What is God? Well, God is. God is just the isness, the I am, that I am. But us humans, that human mind, wants to make meaning, right? So then we try to put some words on it. Well, God is everywhere present, permeating throughout this world. God is all powerful, the light more powerful than the dark. The goodness, the essence of goodness, more profound and powerful than any temporary limited idea of evil or less than in some way. And then the nature of us, the second principle. What are we? I am. I am of that same first essence, that first principle, I am divine. So for a lot of us here, this is, you know, language that we're used to. For those of you who are new, you might be thinking, what? I am divine. So grabbing on to this new, playing with this new concept of who we are can be quite powerful for the first time. So those of you who've been around for decades and decades in Unity or New Thought or similar spiritual thinking, I want to challenge you to come anew to this, to come anew to these principles like a child comes new, and investigate again, what does it really feel like to be the I am, the divine, and then in this principle today to be able to and entrusted with the power to co-create, to create the kind of world, the kind of life, the kind of moment we want to live. It's pretty profound when you think about what we have, I'll say at our fingertips, but so much more, right? Deep in our hearts, deep in our brains. When we say mind, sometimes it seems like we're just talking about thought and the mind, the thinking mind, but it's also just consciousness, right? Mind is heart and brain and consciousness. And so we're working with consciousness. When we go unconscious into the realm of right doing, wrong doing, blame, not enough, we want to go into higher ground, into consciousness, into that field of possibility, or probability, really, more than possibility, because we know it to be so. I have a friend that used to say, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, you can just download it from the universe. I said, well, I'd like to learn to cook Indian food. I really like Indian food. She goes, download it. That's it. You just claim it. I am now an Indian cook. Shazam. But you know, the thing about it was she wasn't just playing around. She stood on the principle, you know, like our founders did, like the early Unitics, just really stood in that place of principle and absolutely, without a doubt, believed that you look at this realm of the universe and you decide what do you want to play with today and download it. It's all there for us. Or download it. To play in that realm is a fun place to be, isn't it? Creativity, human creativity, and then divine human creativity in the dance is one of the greatest, juiciest pieces of our lives, I think, that we get to do. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, classic arts of painting a picture or singing a song. It's creativity is everywhere, right? It's everything we do, every thought we have, every feeling we feel, every word we speak, every choice we make and how to listen and how to move in the world and how to act is a creative act, is a creative impulse coming from that very early stage of the you know, when we were created out of, the universe was created out of what some kind of thought. some kind of impetus, some kind of movement happened that moved all of this creation into this evolution that is so fantastical, isn't it? I mean, every so often I just sit back and think, just for a moment, about the human body and how amazing and magnificent it is. I remember when my sister Lisa and brother-in-law Gary brought home their first child, Nicole, and they would look into the crib or hold her, and they would say, I mean, we all kind of made fun of them after a while, but they were like, can you believe we made her? I mean, she's so beautiful, you know, so precious, that we can make human life. We can co-create even another life. That's profound, isn't it? That our bodies know what to do by the power of thoughts that we're not even aware of. Did you know that artificial limbs now operate by the power of thought? It used to be that there was a wire, it was a wiring system into the nerves of the shoulder, and that would move the arm or the hand. But now scientists figured out, oh, we can do a lot more movements if we work with the power of thought. So by the power of thought, the person thinks which way they want to move their arm, and that impulse is sent by thought through the ethers to the nerves in the shoulder, and then the movements happen. And now instead of two or three movements the old wired way, they can make up to 30 movements. And counting. This actually is a little bit old information, so it's probably now 100 movements. I don't know. I looked for newer information and couldn't find it. But that idea that just through, you know, just through the power of thought, we can move objects, right? Anybody ever hear of Uri Geller, the Israeli? Oh, you all have heard of him. How interesting. Am I saying his name correctly? Yeah. Oh, you got to see him. Okay. So this is the spoon bender. And when he was on television, Americans and people in Japan all over said that they could now bend spoons with the power of their minds because they watched him do it on television. So a lot of times when we do these amazing feats, what helps us is that we can see that it's possible, right? We see somebody else do it, seeing is believing, right? If they can do it, I can do it too. That's one of the ways that we get inspired, is by looking to these spiritual giants that are really taking this power of co-creativity and doing amazing things with us to demonstrate to us how we can do so much more than we think. I mean, scientists are always saying, you know, we use some very tiny percentage of our brain power, and yet alone we know we have heart intelligence, and then we have, you know, the whole allness of spirit that is moving through us as the I am. Got a lot to work with. So where we are not totally satisfied or happy with what we're seeing in the world or in our own lives, we can change it so easily and effortlessly if we just work the principle, work with the principle. It's a law. It's a principle. It works like gravity, you know? Co-creation, it's like one of the rules of life. We came in somehow knowing, here's one of the rules of the game of life. You get to co-create. You have to co-create. You will co-create, whether you choose to or not. So if you want to, you know, think about how awful the world is, how scary the world is, how terrible my life is, well, guess what? You're going to get more of terrible, awful, scary. And if you want magnificence, you're going to get more magnificence. In fact, that's what Ellen Davenport in this handy little book on the five principles says. I want to read you a little passage. She says, we choose with our focus, because it is through us, through our consciousness, our collective thoughts and feelings and beliefs that we continue this creation that started with the source that created all that is, including us. And so that impetus, that first impulse, a big bang, whatever you want to call it, that has evolved life, we're continuing in that evolution. We get to be now the co-creators of more of what we want to see. She says, we choose with our focus, we face a universe of unlimited possibilities, and we choose which one becomes real for us. By focusing on that possibility, every possible outcome already exists in potential. But we draw forth our reality with our expectations and anticipation, whether we want it or not. If we are focused on a particular outcome, it shows up. And it's not because, you know, this positive thinking that metaphysicians talk about and emphasize, she says, it's not because that we're cheerful, we get rewarded by a supreme being. And it's not because we had magical thinking that it somehow works, but it's because we live in a universe where thoughts, conscious or unconscious, bring about the events of our lives. And then she adds, scary, isn't it? And magnificent. Yeah, scary part is, whoa, I've got a lot of responsibility here. Yeah, I do think that is one of the reasons why Unity and New Thought aren't as popular as we'd like them to be. It's the path of responsibility. Not everybody wants to sign up for that. So kudos to you. Really, I mean it. Kudos to you for signing up. Because it's hard work in some ways, but it's so rewarding. And it's what we were meant to do. We were meant to carry on the creation, the co-creation of what it is that we want to experience in life. So getting there, that mind over matter, as we talked about with the spoons, moving from the I have to see it to believe it to I believe it and soon I will see it. It's a different mentality, right? So believing that it's possible allows us to manifest. Do you remember the woman in the Bible who reached out to touch Jesus, the hem of his garment? And it's like she'd been bleeding for 12 years, hemorrhaging for 12 years. And she felt this presence, this Christ, this divinity. And she knew, if I could just touch even just the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And so there's big throngs of crowds all around him. And she just, you know, touched the hem of the garment, just grazed the hem of the garment. And he wheels around in this big crowd and says, "Who touched me? I felt the power go through me." And she was healed. And then he says, "Look, I didn't do it. Your faith healed you." Almost every time he healed somebody, he said something to that effect. Because it was the power moving through. And so this is just a symbol for us of the Christ, the divine in us. Just think of Jesus as the Christ or the divine in us. And there's a part of us that believes, that has faith, that we can be healed, that we can be whole, that this relationship can be restored, that we can find our dream job, that our business is going to succeed, that we will prosper, that our children will find their way and make good choices, and all these things that we are dreaming about and hoping for and wishing for, and we fall into the right doing, wrong doing, not enough, lack, limitation space. And Rumi says, "Get out of it. Meet me in the field of possibility." And that's what the woman had a glimpse of. Don't we all? Don't we have moments of that glimpse of, oh, if I could just right there, if I could just get it. If I could just shift right there, you know? If I could just open right here. And so we're all sort of in that space of the longing and the hope and the faith. And there's this great testimony that says, "I felt the power move through me." You know, and that's what happens for us. The power moves through us. We say, "Wow, that was fun. I want more of that." Do not be afraid. A lot of us are afraid of our own power, our own brilliance, as Marianne Williamson said so beautifully in her famous quote. You know, it's not the darkness so much. It's the light we're afraid of. It's our own brilliance. It's our own success in many ways that we fear. But let's just get out there in the field and try it, you know? Let's play in the realm of possibility and probability and see what we can do together. It's amazing the things that human beings can create and do together with this power, whether they know or not that they're dancing with the power. But all the stronger and better, I think, when we're aware. Because when we're aware, we have those tools to say, okay, how do I shift? How do I get into that space? How do I go back into that field because I see that I have fallen out? How do you see that you've fallen out? Well, you got to watch that mind, you know, because it's a chatterer. If your mind is anything like mine, it's really busy. It's really busy up in there. And when you start to pay attention to it, you go, wow, okay, I don't really need to keep thinking that same thought 50 zillion times, you know? This is what this originally, this principle, the way that we spoke of it in Unity, is the law of mind action. explained as thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And that key word, held, is the operative word. Repetitive thought, repetitive feeling, repetitive focus on one thing is what's going to bring that thing to us, right? So until we pay attention, slow down, stop, and look at the mind, we won't even know what the chatter is. That's the worst kind of hell, really, to live in the unconscious, mindless chatter of that and think that that's reality and that's all there is. Oof, I do not want that life, do you? No, take me away. A friend of mine once said, I cannot live the Walmart life one more day in my life. No offense to Walmart, you know, it just, that was her quote. But she was finding herself in this loop of just sort of a materialism on the weekends and just sort of, you know, this mediocrity, this spin that just wasn't working for her anymore. And a part of it was because she had had an illness all of her life and she felt like she needed to be near her doctors and she couldn't travel, but she was dreaming of all these things. And so finally she's like, I'm just doing it. And so off we went to, brought a group to Assisi, Italy, and she became a licensed Unity teacher. She's went to Hawaii and led a church there, and she's been all over the place. But it's that shift, that willingness to get out of the spin of something that doesn't feel like it's really alive and juicy, you know? This is where the feeling nature comes in to this co-creative principle. We want to feel it. We want to line up our feelings with it too, because it's the feeling nature, the desire that really is sort of the impetus or the discord, which often precedes, in some cases, precedes the desire, right? So if we're not happy with something, then we look at it and say, well, what do I want? What do I hope for? What do I desire? And then we move ourselves then into that place of desire, which is a really rich place of creativity. Now, what I mean by desire is, it can be anything we desire, really, but I want to bring us to that deeper place of desire, which is the deep heart's desire. You know, that's God's will. There's always a lot of confusion around God's will, my will. You know, it's the deep heart desire is God's will. There's no difference. So when we're tuned in, we really can tune into what we truly want. It's a little bit different than saying, you know, I would like to have chocolate this afternoon, which, you know, it's a very worthy thing to co-create. And we can go beyond, right? So we can practice with the small things, though, you know, to really pay attention. So back to the mind, what's going on in the mind. Eckhart Tolle says to watch the mind like a cat watching a mouse hole. Now that's some intensity. Have you ever watched a cat hunt or be expectant? I've never watched them expectant right outside a mouse hole exactly, but I've seen my dog around gopher holes with that kind of intensity. You know, his little booty up in the air, his nose all the way in, you know, waiting for his moment. And so that's the kind of mindfulness, if you will, that we're called into. When we can have that kind of mindfulness, everything changes. Somebody say, oh, look what I'm creating right now. Do I want to be creating that? I don't really want to be creating that. Do I really want to be creating that my body feels tired or, oh, I got to do this today and I don't really want to do that? So it's shifting into what we want to be. My little godson came to visit me just before we moved. His name is Seth, and he's just, well, he's an amazing little being. Everybody says so. It's not just me. So he's 7 now, and he just brought so much joy to us. And he, you know, he's like this little, he's in that growing stage where he's like a little string bean, and then he's got kind of big ears. He's just adorable. And then he was wearing his Spider-Man pajamas. And so I'd be coming out of my bedroom in the morning, you know, just kind of waking up, getting to the bathroom, and there was Seth doing this little dance. He said, exciting day ahead of us, exciting day ahead of us. So we all started doing it all over the house. Everybody was doing it. Exciting day ahead. So now Brenly and I do it at home, you know. What a great way to wake up. I tell you, it shifts everything. It's so simple, right? These simple things we do. You know, these little joy songs that we have in Unity that the children sing that we can take on, then that becomes the soundtrack, the background, the thought that is playing for us. Somebody shared in the relationship relationship summit last Wednesday night, that a soundtrack that plays in her mind are the sounds of nature. She lived in nature for a long time. She was kind of concerned about coming back to a busier area like Walnut Creek, and she said she never plays music because she hears the soundtrack of nature all the time in her mind. Isn't that beautiful? So what do we put in, you know? What we put in is the kind of good spiritual food we're going to get coming out. And so I'm not one of those people that ascribe to no news, at least not for me. I know some people say that, but I don't want, for me, that's too ostrich-like. I want to know what's going on in the world, you know? And I think to really co-create in the world, we do have to have some knowledge of what this relative reality is doing, you know, so then we can shift into that absolute reality. But then there takes a real sort of cat on the mouse hole kind of approach to it, right? What kind of news are we taking, and what kind of sources, how much, when is it enough, when is it too much? If you've heard the story three times, maybe it'd be better to, you know, I'll be in the car and I'll hear like the talking heads, you know, now they're on the third time of talking about this thing, and it's like, and I notice in my body, like, oh, it's like, I don't want to listen to this anymore. So then I switch over to my Narayan and Janet CD. And I'm like, the human mind is, you know, a whole different world. So you know, we all know how to do this, right? We all know how to shift and then be in the shift, right? In the dance with spirit. That's when it really gets great. That's when it really becomes fun. Anybody, any dancers in here? Like partner dancing? Yeah. Oh, a lot of you. So years ago, I took one of my first dance lessons, and I thought, oh man, I am a terrible follow. I kept leading the dance and we were stepping on each other, and you know, he's like, you just need to let me lead, but he didn't really know what he was doing, and so it was just, and I thought I did, but I really didn't know what I was doing, you know. So it was just a mess. And the instructor sees us making this crazy mess and says, here, let me cut in. And I was like, oh, I can follow, because he was really leading me. You know, he really knew where he was going, and he's doing the nudge, and I get the nudge, and there wasn't that little tentative, like, I think I want you to go that way. And so it's like that with spirit, right? We are in that dance, and if we always let spirit be the lead, there is a piece of it that is a surrender, that must be a surrender. So it's not all about we're making it happen. We do have a piece in that. And to make it happen, some is just knowing, okay, this is what's going on inside of me, and this is what I'd like to have happen. And so putting it out on that dance floor, and then coming into that dance where we allow ourselves to move in places we can't see, right? To trust that we're not going to fall off the platform if somebody is leading us in the dance. And when we do surrender into that, what a beautiful, graceful experience that is. That's the co-creative dance. So there's a piece, you know, it's not linear. So we may have an idea, a desire that we want to manifest, and then we get into that field and we say, you know, this is what I'm bringing in. This is what I wish for. And then spirit works with us in that, toward that end. A divine idea may come out of what seemingly nowhere. So the you know, spirit's leading that dance, and then we just start following and taking the steps in order to manifest whatever that is. So it doesn't really matter which comes first, you know. It's just that there is this dance happening, and the wills that are the same, not separate. God's will, my heart's desire. That's what's happening. That's what's being created. So what is it that you, what is something that you wish to be creating in your life, in this world? Take a moment just to drop into your heart. See what's present for you right now. Ask and it is given. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Jesus teaches us those simple ideas. So asking in an affirmative way is claiming it, right? Putting it out there. This is what I am co-creating. Spirit, lead me in the dance. Show me my next step. That's all we ever need to know is the next step, by the way. One of my classmates used to say, we're always, praying for, saying that we're praying for guidance, and then we're upset because really what we were praying for was full revelation. Right? Isn't it true? It's that old ego control thing. I want to know exactly how it's going to play out, and usually we don't get to see. Instead, it's like, here's a step, here's a step, here's a step, here's a step. Pretty soon, we're doing the whole dance. And that's the beauty of the co-creative process. So there has to be those pieces of trust. There has to be those pieces of surrender. So whatever it is that you received, if you receive something now or later, really open to that, claiming that. I am co-creating whatever this is that you are working with. And allow yourself to see how your mind then, putting your mind in alignment with that which you're creating, putting your feeling energy into that desire of what it is that you want to co-create. We're kind of like tuning forks, you know, musical tuning forks. You know, when you first hit it, it makes all kinds of bizarre noises. It's a lot like the song, really. You know, so you might look first and it's like, oh, a lot of extra stuff that I don't need going on in the mind and the heart. But when we then settle in like you just did and ask and look, there's a resonance, right? And then everybody in the room comes into a kind of resonance because we're all tuned into spirit. You know this well with the coherence work with heart math, that easy sign instead of the jagged one, right? The symbol of that coherence. That's where we're looking for. That's where we're wanting to be. So the more we practice putting ourselves in that field that Rumi talked about, that meeting each other in that field, the more richness that we will create together. When we realize that spirit is everywhere present and everywhere accessible to us, and we realize that we ourselves are a part of that divinity, and then we step into this dance of co-creativity, there's no stopping what we can make together. And I love that we are here together as a spiritual community, all of us in this realm, right? All of us wanting to play in this field of probability. Of peace throughout the land, of everything we can dream of, you know, food for all and water for all and a world that works for all and beauty everywhere and no more of that stuff that doesn't work, you know, peace instead of, you know what it is that we all wish for in our world, and then we bring it into our lives personally. What is it that I'm want? Where am I in discord and where do I want to be? This is the work that we are doing together in this co-creation. So let's make it happen together, shall we? Let's close out with an affirmation. I am co-creating my best life ever in a world that works for all. Let's say it one more time and really feel it. I am co-creating my best life ever in a world that works for all. And so it is.